Okay, we continue the Rambam, Hilchas Melachim, Perek Ches, Halacha Tes. Continuing to talk about the Yefas Tor, the captive woman. Yefas Tor, Shalorot Solaniach Avodah Zarah. We already discussed the Yefas Tor, we give her 30 days to give up her religion and then to accept Yiddishkeit, to convert. And then we discussed what happens if she gets pregnant before she converts, whatever. But now we're talking, finally, let's say the Yefas Tor does not want to give up her religion, and it's already a year has passed. She's in the house, says, I ain't giving up my religion. Horganoiso, we kill her. Okay? That's it. We kill her. In other words, we don't say, even though we caused her a great distress by capturing, we don't say, we'll let her just go free and she worships idols. We have to kill her. What did she do wrong? Because she's a Canaanite person who is not accepting, who is idolatrous. Right? And that's the next line, says the same thing. Vechein ir shehi shlima, a city that wants to make peace with the Jewish people, right? And they don't, when we want to fight them and they want to make peace, in Korsel and Bris, we don't make a covenant with them, at sheikh burvat azara, until they deny their idol worshipping. The abdus kol makom oseya, and they destroy all its places. The kablu shara mitzvah of the noach, and they accept the seven noachite laws. Shekol goy shlo kibal mitzvah shisav v'nei noach. Any goy who doesn't accept the mitzvah of v'nei noach, horgin us, so we kill them. Im yeshno tachzenu, if they're under our hands. In other words, remember, they cannot live in Eretz Yisrael not accepting the seven Noahide laws.
She says, okay, I want to leave.
Yeah, where's she going to go? Where's one woman going to go from Yerushalayim out of Eretz Yisrael?
Seven Noahide or convert?
It says she doesn't give up her Avodah Zarah. She wants to keep worshiping idols. She doesn't have to convert. She can say, I'll do my seven Noahide laws. Then that's fine. That's not a problem. She wants to keep worshiping idols. What?
He can't marry her.
For states of Helene, he can't marry her. And we're not talking about marrying her. She hasn't converted. He can't marry her unless she converts. She's, I want to keep worshiping my idols. So guess what? So we gave you a year's time, and now forget it. We're killing you. That's all. You can't. There's not a lot of options over here. Remember, she could have left long before. Remember, when she got captured in battle, let's get the context over here. The Jews came to her nation and they said, listen guys, you got a choice. You could leave, you can make peace under our terms, or you're going to fight us. Okay? Now the country chose to fight. What does that mean? That they've given up the other options. All right, you don't have an option. This lady is somehow going to leave Eretz Yisrael. Good luck. We're going to have to keep an eye on her until she leaves. We're going to give her a jeep and send her out to Syria and drop her off over there. I don't have this kind of stuff. She was from a nation that said we're prepared to die. Right, we're not going to give up. So now she got captured. Okay, now here's your lease on life. You want to become a Jew, you at least want to accept the seven Noahide laws. She doesn't want any of that, then we have to kill her. That's all. There's nothing, there is no other alternatives that are left over here for such a person. Okay? Now it's interesting, there's still the commentators ask a question, why do we even leave her 12 months to worship idols? 30 days was one thing. Right? We know that if a non-Jew, a Ben Noach, we'll learn later on in the next paragraph, you know, if they worship idols, they get killed, right? 30 days makes sense. Yes, you get 30 days to get over the trauma, all this, to cry, and this and that. It makes a lot of sense. So there's other Sfarim have different versions of the Rambam. And they say if she doesn't want to give up her idol worship, we kill her. And they take out the 12 months from the text. Totally take it out. So I guess the 3 months and nothing more than that. There are other sources, Midrashim over here that seem to mention 12 months. Okay, maybe that's what the Rambam's relying on. But clearly, after the 12 months, you keep on forgetting. You're very nice people and you're very gentle people. But you gotta remember, these are Canaanites. These are the lowest of the low. These are people that are just, imagine in your mind, the friendly Palestinians we deal with now. Okay, they're nothing compared to what the Canaanites were that the Jews had to expel. Okay? So now, and we are dealing with a point of strength for a change. Okay, let's imagine for a minute if right now Israel didn't have to come on to the United States and Russia and the international community. What would Israel do if they could do what they wanted to do? Oh, that's fine. You keep doing what you want. I mean, without, you know, they're terrible, corrupt people, right? And we have to do what you have to do. They're terrible, corrupt people. So here there's one Yafasar. This is probably a lady who trained her child to be a suicide bomber or worse. Do you understand what we're talking about over here? So now we've captured this woman. Okay, you're getting a second chance. You want to convert? You want to be a Jew? If not, we're going to kill you like we killed everybody else. I mean, there's no place for mercy over here. That's what everyone's. Anyway, Yud. Moshe Rabbeinu Elohim Chalatayra of Mitzvahs Elal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu bequeathed Torah Mitzvahs only to the Jewish people. Shenemar, as it says again, the Sefer Dvarim. Moirasha Kehilos Yaakov. The Torah is an heirloom. It's an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. And to anyone, a non-Jew, who wants to convert from the non-Jews, they're acceptable. Shenemar, the Torah says, Kocham kagir, like you, is like the convert. But what if somebody doesn't want to become a Jew? We're talking about a regular non-Jew to be a non-Jew. This is the anti-missionary clause of the Rambam. We don't force non-Jews to accept Torah and mitzvahs. We'll see shortly. We'll allow them to be a ger tosha. We're not interested in we're not interested in converting non-Jews into being Jews. V'chein tziva Moshe Rabbeinu b'gevura, and this is what Moshe commanded from Hashem. L'chof es kol b'yolam l'kabel mitzvah shams neinoch. Where our job is to force the world to do the seven Noahide laws. That's our job. Well, Mishal Yekabel, whoever is accepted and is living in Eretz Yisrael, Yehareg has to be killed. Okay, but on the other hand, if I'm a Kabbalah son, what if a non-Jew says, okay, I'm willing to do the seven Noahide laws and live in the land of Canaan. Hunikra ger toshav. He's called a ger citizen. In other words, he's considered like a non-Jew, but a non-Jew who has accepted his laws of being like a non-Jew who's allowed to live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. If you're keeping the seven Noahide laws and you're accepted the Jews are the authority over the land, you know, and you pay your taxes and whatever, fine, you could live. And there's no place. No problem with that. But Vitzorach Lekabel of Vintei Shlosha Chavirim, he has to make this a public acceptance in front of three Talmide Chachamim. So we have verifiable proof. They probably would write down, was a Bezdin, they'd write a Shtar, you know, Mahmad Abud Rahu, you know, is accepted upon himself the seven Noahide laws and is permitted to be a resident of the city. So anytime an Israeli soldier sees this Arab, he says, listen, I got my certificate from the Eid HaRedis, so I'm allowed to live over here. Okay. From a Kabbalah of Lomo, what about a non-Jew? Says, I accept upon myself to be a Jew and everything, and I will circumcise myself. But guess what? He just never got around to it. For Rav Lov Shneima Sarchodesh, and 12 months have passed, for Lomo, he still has to circumcise himself. Hareze, Kiminomas, he's treated like completely a non-Jew. He has no Jewish status as much as he's, you know, studying for conversion or whatever, but if he hasn't gotten to the point where he's prepared to circumcise himself, we
so
do not
have responsibility to promote to going to give up the religion outside of Israel and to take on the seven mitzvot.
You know, if we had the power to do it, we don't have the power.
I mean, to go to a promenade and center point.
I suppose that your first obligation is to go to a Jew. When you finish working on all the Jews, then you can work on the non-Jews. That's right. You first have to go to every Jew. When you finally have finished trying on every Jew and you failed or you've succeeded or whatever, once you've dealt with all the Jews, then you can go to the non-Jews. There's no problem. It's not a bad thing for a non-Jew to keep the seven Noahide laws. No problem. But you should be thinking about your Jewish brothers first. That would take a priority. And now the famous Rambam in Yud Aleph. Call him a Kabbal Sheva Mitzvahs. Any non-Jew who accepts the seven Noahide laws upon himself. And Nizar La Sosam. But you also have to do them. It's not just to accept it. You have to be careful in doing them. Hareza Mechaside Umos Olam. This is the definition of Chaside Umos Olam, righteous Gentile, not according to Yad Vashem's translation. I mean, but nice thing they want to do, but they call a guy as a chassidim Muslim if they say Jews in the Holocaust, which I'm not saying it's not a nice thing and it shouldn't be recognized, but you can't use the term chassidim. They use the same term as the Rambam. It's a misnomer. It's a gross misnomer. and doesn't mean that they have any Olam Haba necessarily. You know, those are two separate things. If you had a good heart and you wanted to save Jews, that's a wonderful thing. But what if you transgress the seven Noahide laws? So, you know, it doesn't make you enter into becoming Chasudei Olamam, blah, blah. The only criteria is to the seven Noahide laws, and then the Yesh Lo Chelech Lo Olam Haba. Then he too has a portion in the world to come. However, it's not the same type of Olam Haba that a Jew gets. What Sado explains, as you recall, he says that in the second gate over there, second section, he says that the non-Jew's relationship to Olam Haba is vis-a-vis the Jew, as opposed to the Jew who, let's say, goes into Olam Haba, so the non-Jew will, let's say, be like the garment of the Jew. It's like the garment of the Jew. So he is in Olam Haba, but obviously the level of Olam Haba is not going to, it's only for seven, it's not for 613. So he has a lower level of Olam Haba, but there is a very important precondition. For who, and it only will apply, Shekabalo son, Vyasana son, that he accepts upon him and does them, because God commanded in our Torah that they should do it. V'hodiyanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, and informed us all through Moshe Rabbeinu, shebnei Noach mikodem nitzavchem, that bnei Noach, before the Torah was given, were already commanded to follow their seven Noahide laws. They must accept it under that criteria. That to say, the Bible, the Jewish Bible says that we have to keep the seven Noahide laws. They have to say that point. Avolimosim ipnei hechradas. What if they're just very nice people? They come up to their own understanding that you have to be nice to people, you shouldn't steal, it's just the right thing to do. Why are you doing it? It's nothing to do with God. I don't even, you know, yeah, I'm just doing it because I think it's a good thing. I believe that there is a God, I believe there is a God, but I just think this is the right thing to do. Intellectual, whatever it is, but it has nothing to do because you were told to do it. Ein ze ger toshav. He does not have the status of a ger toshav. And is not considered from the righteous Gentiles. Now the next two words is a machlokas, what the gear says. The Rambam here says, velo mechachmeim, and he's not even from their wise people. Other girsas say the opposite. Ela mechachmeim. He's not a chassid olmos, but he is a wise person. So there's the censors, I believe, forced the Rambam to say it, but of the wise people, because I could imagine Christians weren't too happy to hear that they're not wise people over there. So there's different nuschos over there. But because it's based on a Gemara Megillah says that, you know, anyone who says there's chachma by the goyim, you might believe it, etc., etc. But they've got to say that they're doing it because that's how it is given in the Torah.
Isn't the seven far more than seven? Like, you think, one of the setting up courts, we can think of all these, what we have under the setting up courts.
Okay, that's the general rule, next setting chapter. Up courts.
What?
General.
Next chapter.
We'll see the details. There was somebody who once did a PhD thesis on the seven Noahide laws. I have it somewhere in my house. And he somehow came out to like 30 things like that. I guess subcategories of that. But clearly, now it's interesting. If there are some commentaries on the Rambam who say if they do the mitzvahs because they think it's a good thing to do, they'll get their reward in this world. They're not going to get Olam Haba. Well, the person it was a good guy in his life. He really was a nice, moral person, but didn't do it at all because the Torah said so. So that person will get rewarded in this world. He did something. He wanted this world to be a better place, so he'll get a better place. Hashem will reward him for that. But Olam Haba, he doesn't have. Yeah. Treat them differently. I'm sorry?
There's no difference except for
Alamaba. Yeah, Alamaba. I mean, he's still a goy. Right? He's not
a
goy.
They have to resign if they're doing it for
There's
them.
All kinds of halachas, you know. Until he becomes a Jew, there's not any major differences unless a ger toshav, he's allowed to live in the land as opposed to us killing him. But if he's keeping the seven Noahide laws, he's a ger toshav. Otherwise, maybe we can't let him live on the land. I don't know. But still, a non-Jew, you're not allowed to insult him. You're not allowed to harass him. You're not allowed to do any of those kinds of things. You have to treat all human beings with a certain modicum of respect, so that respect should be the same. But there are all other kinds of halachas in terms of, are you obligated to save their lives? There's certain halachas only for Jews and not for non-Jews. Yeah.
So like an individual doesn't set up the court. So if a non-Jew just utilizes the courts when he has a dispute, is he considered that he's fulfilled that mitzvah?
Well, you know, he's not a guy who takes the law in his own hands. You know, the Wild West, you know. He went to the sheriff, and although maybe all the people on the jury, you know, whatever, are racist, you know what I mean? You know, if they'd ever have to take a black fellow to court against a white fellow, I mean, you knew what the judgment was before they said it, but at least they went through a court, so to speak. So he went to the court. He didn't do that. He doesn't have to set up the court. Let's say you're a Canadian citizen. Okay, how does a Canadian citizen get his olam haba? All right, well, you can't be immoral, you can't steal, you can't kill, and if you have any problems with any other people, you take it to court. Now, if the court is corrupt, that's not his, you know, he can only do what he can do. You live a civil life. You don't just, you know, just shoot a guy if you have a problem with him. So that's what means to make a court. Okay, Rabbi Hanani ben Akiva. Okay, let's continue now. We're in the 9th chapter. Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Now that we talk about the 7 Noahide laws, so now we're going to spend this chapter learning the 7 Noahide laws. Al Shisha Dvarim Nitzdava Adam Harishon. First man was commanded on 6 mitzvahs. What were the 6? Al Avoda Zora, not to worship idols. Val Birchas Hashem, it's a euphemistic term, not to curse God. Val Shvichas Damim, on murder. Val Gili Arayas, immorality. Val Agozel, and on theft. Val Hadinim, and on establishing courts to judge those 5 mitzvahs and to warn the people to keep them.
So the courts are only for those 5, as opposed to our courts, which are for much more.
Well, they can only have courts for what they're commanded on, right? So that, and the Medrash Rabbah extrapolates these mitzvahs from what it says in the 2nd chapter in Bereishis, where it says that Hashem commanded Adam, saying, from all the fruits in the garden you shall eat. So from that pasuk, we derive 6 out of the 7 Noahide laws. From the word vayitzav, and Hashem commanded, it means you have to listen to Hashem, you can't go against Hashem. The word yitzav, that is hinting to they can't worship idols, because it says Hosea, because you have to go after the command, as it were. When it says Hashem, vayitzav Hashem, that means, you know, Hashem, and you can't curse out God's name. And there's a pasuk that says, if a person curses Hashem's name, he shall surely die. Elohim, Yitzhav Hashem Elohim, Elohim is judges, because we find many references in Sefer Shmos that the judges are called Elohim. They're called because it's powerful. Al Ha'adam, Hashem commanded concerning Adam. Well, Adam, we learn from that, you can't kill. Because it says, Shefet Dam Ha'adam, if a person spills someone's blood. Lay more, saying, that's a reference to immorality, as they bring a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that says, they say that the man goes after the woman to be immoral, etc. And then from eating from the fruits of the tree you shall eat from that which is yours, but not from theft. So therefore, that's how we extrapolate from that. So really, it's a misnomer to a certain extent to call them the 7 Noahide laws, really, because they were really the 6 Adamite laws. And that's originally was the 6 Adamite laws. And then people are going to say, well, what did they do till Noah? The answer is they had 6 laws on the books for, how many years was that? 1656
years. Noah was born 960.
I'm saying, but they already had before Noah. I'm saying, they already had all those years before Noah. They had to keep 6 laws. So that they already had. So they had that. Now, Afalpi, continues the Rambam, Afalpi shekulim hem kabbalah biyodeinu mimoshe Rabbeinu. Although, the fact is that this is all a kabbalah that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu told us that that was how first man was commanded. V'hadas nota lahem, and even though it makes a lot of sense, it's logical that you have to have such things, be that as it may, still, miklal divrei Torah. This is considered part of Torah. In other words, this is the non-Jews' portion of God's Torah. That's what it is. And therefore, yeirah shal eila nitzdavet. So we see from these psukim that they were commanded this. In other words, it's not that, you know, the Torah is the Jewish people's book. The non-Jews have nothing to do with our Torah. And from somewhere else, they have to keep seven Noahide laws. No, it's from our Torah, they have to keep the Noahide laws. That's clearly what it is.
What about Pru or Vu? Wasn't that for everybody?
That's not. No, that was to Adam, but that wasn't, first of all, it wasn't something that was not that initial command. That was a side command. Whatever. It became a real mitzvah only at Sinai. Really, these only became mitzvahs for us at Sinai. Many say it was a blessing, not a command. It was a blessing that you'll be fruitful and multiply. Once we got the Torah at Sinai, now for Jews it becomes a mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. It's not a mitzvah for them. They don't have to be fruitful. They could have zero population growth. They don't have to worry about it. They're not commanded in it. Not at all. Now, so I have the six. Then, Hoisif Lenoach, then by Noach, we added another one. Aver Minachai, to not eat the flesh off of the living animal.
Because you couldn't eat meat until
right, because they couldn't eat meat anyway beforehand, so there was no problem with eating meat because you couldn't eat meat.
Was that a commandment for them?
Well, that was only for Adam, but not for afterwards. It was only temporary, but not later. Shenemras, it says, Ach baser benafsho domelo sochal. You don't eat flesh with the soul of the blood in it, you shall not eat. And the blood of inside the animal is the living soul, so you can't eat it while it's still alive. Nimtzu, so comes out, Sheva mitzvahs. They now have seven. So the reason it's called the seven Noahide laws is because when Noah came, we got the seventh. So really it was the six Adamite laws that then turned into the seven Noahide laws. Okay. I'm just looking at the commentary. Is there anything else over here? Yeah.
But they didn't keep them. That's why there was a fight.
They kicked the six laws. That's right. They didn't keep the six laws.
No, right.
Okay. Then of course, there's, now the Rambam's only adding these specific ones that are for the non-Jews. There's other mitzvahs, as we'll see shortly. Anyway, v'chein hoya hadover b'cholam adaram. That's the way it was until Avram came along. There's only seven things commanded. But Avram came along. V'nitztava Yisrael. We've got an extra command. B'mila, circumcision now becomes the eighth mitzvah, but that's only for Jews. And also, who is spell shachris, and he also instituted the shachris prayer. Yitzchak, he frish meiser. Yitzchak started giving a tenth. How do we give a tenth? Because it says, as Parshas told us, when he was in Gror, it says that year he had mea shorim, 10 times the regular amount. Now, why did we need to know how much he had? The answer is because he had to know how much he had in order to give Meiser on it. Okay? Now, the Ravid asks a question on this. Wait a minute. Don't we know that Avram gave to Shem, Malki Tzedek, Meiser Mikol when he came back from the Battle of Stone? So Rambam holds that he only did that, only a little bit he separated from the loot that he had from the battle. They didn't do it as a law of Meiser. He did it more to honor Malki Tzedek. Yitzchak did it as a practice of doing it all the time, of doing Meiser. Fine. V'hosiv tefillah acheres lifnos hayom. And Yitzchak added another prayer as the day would be ending mincha. V'yakov hosiv gira noshe. Yaakov added the mitzvah of gira noshe, not to eat that sciatic nerve, whatever. Ad Shabbat Moshe Rabbeinu, until Moshe Rabbeinu came up, I skipped his spalal arvis, and he instituted marv as well. Okay, now, the truth of the matter is, the real prohibition, for example, of Gid Hanosha, really for us, so to speak, only comes at Sinai. In other words, Moshe gave us, he arranged the Torah, he told us what happened to Yaakov, And maybe that Yaakov, you know, was told not to eat the Gid Hanosha, but for it to be a mitzvah, the reason we keep the mitzvahs today is not because Avram was commanded to keep Mila, it wasn't because Yitzchak was commanded to keep Gid Hanosha, because that was all repeated at Sinai, and now Hashem at Sinai repeated and said, okay, now we gotta do this. Uva Mitzrayim, and in Egypt, Nitztava Amram Mitzvah Seseris, and Amram gave some other mitzvahs for us to do, because he was the God of Lador. Rambam doesn't elaborate what it is. Atshaba Moshe Rabbeinu, Vinishlatar, then until Moshe came and then finished up and the whole 613 mitzvahs with him. All right, so that's the source of the seven Noahide laws and the beginnings of the sources of the extra mitzvahs that we have.
Is it the same system that there have to be two adim and a warning?
We're going to talk about it all. We're going to talk about it all. So all, we've got a few chapters to go. All right, Beis, let's start. Ben Noach she'oved avodah zarah, a Noahide who worships idols, harei zeh chayav. He's chayav misa. And we'll see that generally the chayav misa of goyim is one type only, and that's with the sword, decapitation. Okay? So if they worship idols, off with their heads. However, there's conditions for that. V'hushayava kedarki has to worship the idol the way the idol is worshipped. For example, the Baal Peor is only worshipped by defecating at it. The Merkulis is only worshipped by throwing rocks at it. You gotta do the exact worship for that. Okay, now, v'chol avodah zarah shebezdin shel Yisrael memisin ala, any idol worship that if a Jew did it, and a Jewish court would see what he did and would punish him, then benoach nergala, then if a non-Jew does that service, he would be killed. Why are we saying this? Because there's certain types of idol worship that's not the real deal. It's like side worship, so to speak. If there's certain activities that you would do, for example, what if you hug and kiss an idol? Just, oh, I love you, idol. And you start hugging it and kissing it. You know, that's not the way it's served. So an avera, it certainly is, but you don't get the death penalty for that, even in a Jewish court. So therefore, if you don't get killed for the Jewish court, in benoach nergala, a non-Jew would not be killed for that either. Afalpi she'eino nerek, but even though he doesn't get killed, usur bakol, he'd be prohibited in any type of these activities that are not allowed. They may nich and also lahakim atzei. We don't allow them to put up a pillar, a monument that's used to bring offerings, so to speak. Lalita Asherah, and not to plant an Asherah tree that they use to worship the moon. Velala Sasuris, and not to make certain images. Ukiyesim Lanoi for beautification. We don't make images. We say to him that's not Avodah Zarah, but we want people to think that maybe there are images and human being is in the image of God, etc., etc. We went through that once before. So you don't get punished, you only get lashed, but and we're not going to kill a non-Jew, but they shouldn't do those types of activities that we're not allowed to do either.
That's not one of their laws, it's just that...
Well, it's derivations of it, right? Lesser applications of idol worship, but they wouldn't get killed for that.
It's tied to the idol worship.
Yes. Gimel, benach sheberchas Hashem, if a non-Jew curses out Hashem, bein sheberch v'shem yuchad, regardless if he used the ineffable name of Hashem, of the yud, hey, vav, hey, aleph, dalet, nun, yud, bein sheberch bekinu, it doesn't matter if you use one of the nicknames of Hashem, and let's say the ones that you can't erase, like Kael, Elohim, Shakai, Tzvakai, all those. But chalosh, and in any language, chayuv, they're chayuv misa with the sword. Masha ein kein be Yisrael, which is not the case with the Yisrael. Well, the Jew is only put to death for cursing God if he uses the ineffable name of Hashem. It says, V'no kev shem yud hei vav hei, mos you must. You only chayv when you use that name. So here's an interesting, where a non-Jew has a stricter law than the Jewish law. Non-Jew can only be put to death if he says the ineffable
name. The Jew
only gets put to death if he uses the ineffable name of Hashem. A non-Jew, even if he uses any of the nicknames, even another language, he will be killed. So I guess, if he would say in English the word God, and I curse out God, probably he would get killed as well. All right, let's do one more. Here's a very interesting halacha. Before I say this halacha, let's ask the following shaila. Let's say you are in a hospital and you're in the medical unit over there, and in this hospital they practice abortions. That's the way it is. And for whatever reasons, you're, let's say, the GP. And for whatever reason, I guess nowadays you still have to have a doctor's permission to do it, right? I mean, whatever. And there has to be an abortion done. Is it better for an abortion to be done by a Jew or by a goy to perform it? From a halachic point of view, which is the lesser of the two evils? Which is the lesser of the two evils? We'll see in this halacha what we have. Dalit. Ben Noach Shaharig Nefesh, if a non-Jew kills a soul, Afilu uber b'mei imo, even a fetus inside of the mother. Let's say you hit the mother and they killed the baby. Neheragalov, you're put to death on that. And there's psukim that prove that point, which is not the case by a non-Jew. By a non-Jew, the halacha says if two men were fighting, right, and you kill the baby, you pay, there's financial loss that you pay for.
With a Jew, you mean.
With a Jew to a Jew,
yeah,
you don't get the death penalty for that. But by a non-Jew, you do. All right, so now you see that it's better for Jews to do abortions than non-Jews to do abortions. I'm not saying, in other words,
I'm
not advocating it, but I'm saying let's in a situation where you have to do it. Okay, so it's still better to have a Jew do it than a non-Jew doing it. Right? Because non-Jew doesn't chayv misa. A non-Jew, a Jew doesn't get chayv misa. A non-Jew, it's chayv misa for it. So can you imagine if you're writing out the, you know, you have a client and you have to prescribe an abortion, and if you have a non-Jew do it, you're mamish lifnei iver. You're mamish that non-Jew in a real world would be killed for that. So that's you could see what the Jewish position. What?
Is that only in Israel where we have control?
Well, no. I mean, this is the law. The fact we don't kill them doesn't mean they didn't sin. They haven't done. Just because we don't enforce the law doesn't mean it's not wrong.
Doesn't mean they have a death penalty over their head.
You know, they should have. If they at least get killed with a death penalty, they get some kind of kapara, whatever. Now there's no kapara, so it's a terrible avera.
What's worse?
All right. Now we're not saying that a Jew can go and make abortions.
No,
we're just saying you're not chayv misa for it. That's all. We're not advocating that Jews can make abortions either, but it doesn't come with a chiyuv misa. You know, with get your head chopped off. Okay. Certainly an avera to do it, but you don't. It doesn't carry such a strong penalty as you have over there.
Wasn't the pasuk that you quoted? Wasn't that more of accidentally? He accidentally.
That's over there with finance. You're right. That's with financial.
So
but
in this case, even if a Jew did it intentionally, like an abortion.
But we're saying it's even still lenient there as well.
Still lenient?
Yes. Yes. Right. It doesn't carry a death penalty. He says it's not killed. And it's also learned a little bit from safer. Even, let's say even the guy intentionally punches the lady. Still, there's only financial payment. That's it. But it's still not allowed. Like, it's still an avero. But it doesn't carry the same, punishment as a non-Jew. Let's just finish this halach up. Chaymar trefa. Look at this one. What if a non-Jew kills a person who is destined to die? Not a fugitive. Oh. Person has cancer. He has 3 weeks to live. Yeah, whatever. Treifa is anyone who's going to live less than a year because of a medical condition, right? If a non-Jew kills a treifa, oshikafaso venasanofiari, or he ties him up in front of a lion and the lion eats him up, oshenicha barovich, or he locks him up and he has him starve to death. In all those cases, hoil vehemis, since he killed the guy, mikomakum, at the end of the day, was the direct cause of the guy's death. Nerag is put to death, which is not the case in any of those cases by a Jew. Okay, that's not the case by a Jew. A Jew kills a treifa, doesn't get punished. It's potter bidei adam, but chayiv bidei shamai.
Right, but this guy's killed through starvation.
I understand. So I'm saying in all these cases, if potter, a Jew is maybe chayiv bidei shamai, but not convicted in a court here, well, in a non-Jewish court, they're convicted. That there's different psukim that prove that point.
But don't we say that in some of these cases, even the Jew pulls the plug, so to speak, it's murder?
Again, it's murder, but we don't decapitate him for doing it. That's all we're not saying this is permitted at all. The question is in terms of punishment. The Jew is chayv bidei shamayim. God will take care of him, which many times it could be worse. Okay, it could be worse. I don't think the Jew is getting away with anything, Shelley. Chayv bidei shamayim could be worse than getting punished in this world. Get punished in this world, at least you have a kapara. With punishment in God's hands, in other words, the human court is incapable of enforcing a kapara. Yeah. So God has to do it. In the goy, when a goy does, if anything, you think the goy, it's less. Because we can kill the goy, okay, it's a kapara, but a Jew, it's so bad.
What I'm saying is, if a Jew murders, he's chayav in this world too.
Out and out murder?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's something we can give him a kapara for.
So isn't this, but we've said all along, this is the same as murder. If he decides,
but it doesn't care. But it, for whatever reason, the Torah doesn't carry with it a death penalty in this court, in this world.
It's called off on a technicality.
What?
Then it's not murder.
It is, but you're off on a technicality.
It's, there's murder, it's but not punished as a capital offense. There can be things you do, right? But it's bad. But God's system is that you don't get decapitated. There'll be other ways of dealing with you. But in the non-Jewish court, we just decapitate them. What do you think? If a Jew kills a Jew who's going to die in 6 months, that's a nice thing. It's a terrible thing. But he's not punished in the human court. God will deal with him. God will deal with him. Right? That's the difference. In a non-Jewish court, with non-Jews, they get punished with the death penalty. Okay. V'cheinim harag rodef. Shiyochel atzil b'achmei v'arif. Let's say somebody is chasing somebody to kill him. And a good Samaritan is supposed to stop the guy. Now, what's the optimal way to stop him? You shoot him in the leg, so you don't have to kill him, and it will stop him from running after the guy. That's what you're supposed to do. So let's say the guy could have done it. He could have shot him in the leg, because let's say he's an mark, he's a SWAT guy, okay? He's got a perfect aim. He can hit the guy in the foot. He can even hit him in the hand, you know, where he's got the gun, and it'll break his hand, and the gun will go flying off, right? And he's in marksman. It's like not a Shiloh. He could do it. And he goes for the heart and kills him.
Oh, yeah.
When he could have gone the way, what's the law over here?
Killed.
Neragalav, he is put to death. Masha Engri, so again, which is not the case by a Jew. Even though it's a bad thing, but it's not punishable in a human court. So now it's an Isra Lachulamaisa. The non-Jews who work on a SWAT team, you know, they really should be trained to maim the person if you can. I mean, if you only 1 second, obviously you just kill the guy. But if you've got these marksmen who can very just as easily maim the guy as opposed to kill the guy, they'd be obliged to maim the guy and not kill the guy. Well, if a Jew did it, it's not a good thing, but at least would not be killed in a human court. Okay, Rabbi Chanani Ben Akash, yes? Okay, tell one of the boys to come in.